Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Yes, it is. Morena, Lara.
Kia ora, morena.
How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Things are happening now.
Oh my gosh. Things are starting to happen. Whether or not that's accidental, though, I mean, if you know what I'm getting at.
Candidates, no policy, though, for Labour.
Yeah.
We're still waiting.
Yeah, so true. Well, big week for all parties, I guess. The election is soon. Sooner than you think, hey? Does that time always sneak up on you?
This one's really dragging, I have to say.
Really?
Normally it does sneak up on me. I'm like, suddenly it'll be like, oh, it's 3 months, but this one's really dragging, I think, because it's so late in the year. And that there's just, it's so close and so uncertain that I think that this one is particularly dragging on. I have to say, I'm like, wait, I've got to do this till November. And then, you know, it's like the thing with like the, my kind of work area and like having done political commentary type work since about 2020. I say work, but none of it's ever paid. But having done this since about 2020, it starts to kind of creep up on you around now-ish. You know, a lot more of the media outlets are suddenly more interested in politics, interested in what's going to happen. So just adds that extra layer of having to follow the elections quite closely and follow what's happening quite closely. And so, yeah, I've got a holiday planned for September because I know that I'm going to, otherwise I'll hit November and I'll just be emo at all of it.
I reckon you need to do some rest and digest time there.
Definitely.
So we've got Labour list. Any standouts?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think overall, I have to say about the Labour list, you know, they do have some new talent coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And people who you can kind of look at their CVs and their work experience and say, look, they've got the kind of skills, governance experience, communications, this work skills that would lead them to be excellent MPs and ministers. So the people they've got this time round, there's been a bit of controversy already, though. Rakesh Naidu, who's like quite high up the list, almost guaranteed to get in, he's got a lot of experience in the police, he's a superintendent, he's like an iwi ethnic liaison, They're kind of selling him as someone who, you know, is from an ethnic community, has a lot of experience working with ethnic communities and ideas around social cohesion. The rest of the candidates, there's also Sophie Hanford, who's running the Kapiti, who's a young woman, I think she's 26, and she was involved in the school strike for climate. She's been a local councillor, so she's very impressive, again, very good communicator. The rest of them are all quite legal, law-type people. I'm sure still can't remember their names, but one is definitely Max Harris, who is a long-time author. He passed this very fancy exam at Oxford and then got this full scholarship for a doctorate and works as a barrister, works as a campaigner. He's campaigned for things like free dental. Has that kind of legal background. They've got a couple of other kind of quite impressive people. I feel like one's called Chris.
How many Chris's in the house today?
Another Chris? I don't know. Like, this is the thing. And he's a trade unionist and kind of from the Dairy Workers Union, from the Waikato as well, so a little bit more regional diversity there, employment law background. And another guy, I feel like his name's Warwick, maybe, who's a kind of senior tax law partner working, I think, in Vietnam and in Asia somewhere at the moment. So they've got a few, them probably, oh, and Kingi Kiriona, who's on the Waitangi Tribunal, who's running in the Hauraki Waikato seat against Hana Rafferty Maipi Clark.
Wow.
Funny guy. I saw him host an event for the Waitangi Tribunal. Funny guy, charismatic guy, you know, like...
Yeah, but also, like, potentially leaking policy.
Yeah. So it's that thing, eh? It's like, so you've got these people, and a lot of them are very experienced, again, good candidates. You could criticise and say, actually, you're too many lawyers. But nowadays, actually, sort of the millennial and younger generation, if you're interested in politics and policy, doing a law degree, it's like a natural, it's like a bit of a selection mechanism, you know? You're like, I really like this kind of thing, so then you go to a law degree. Whereas Big Norm and Rob Muldoon's generation, you just didn't have the access to do a law degree by your social class. So, you know, I criticise it, but also I've had a professor say to me before, like, Lara, don't you want the lawmakers to have a good knowledge of the law? I'm like, oh, yeah, I do, actually.
Yeah.
But anyway, it is a bit. I can see Bryce Edwards or someone will probably criticise it as being professional, managerial, class heavy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we can sit with that critique and go, oh, yeah, it is what it is. But, yeah, Kingi Kiriona, he kind of fell into a bit of hot water because in the press stand-up after the candidates were announced, he kind of mentioned that Labour will have a tax relief policy and gestured Hipkins, who was like, oh, that's a bit premature. So Hipkins, in any of his interviews, hasn't denied that they're going to do some kind of tax relief. So we'll see what that is. That I can imagine it'll be something targeted at people in that kind of lower socioeconomic status kind of area, you know, the kind of so-called working poor, like those sorts of groups. So we'll see what that is. But that was kind of quite oops. But you also kind of can't blame the guy because I think it's really hard for these people shifting from representing themselves, right, and just kind of being themselves and maybe representing their employer, but not really, to being a candidate. And especially people who, like Kiriona, who've had media experience, comms experience, that kind of thing, that you're suddenly, look, I'm emphasizing because I wouldn't be able to do it. Like, suddenly you were later, you can't, like, just accidentally say something, you know? You should be real precise. I'm like, oh, yeah, that would be really hard.
It also feels as though it's been, like, quite slow on Labour's end in terms of policy announcements, and people are feeling as though things are a bit sleepy. So it almost feels as though maybe a little bit of premature policy announcement or, like, the tiniest bit of sort of scandal in this way might wake things up a little bit and people might get a little bit excited about Labour again.
Yeah, I was quite positive about it. I was like, oh, this doesn't seem like a leak. It just seems like a little mistake that's fairly forgivable. The one that's perhaps been a little bit more of an issue for their new candidates is Rakesh Naidu. He's got a very high up role in the police, and it doesn't seem like and his boss, I think it's the police commissioner, whoever it is, his boss is. I never know what the police structure is. But they hasn't told his boss early enough. That's the one that's been come out in the last sort of 12 hours, 24 hours. So misspeaking about a policy, accidentally leaking something, but it's not really leaking if you're doing it in front of your boss. But, you know, making a mistake, it's a bit silly. It's a bit, oh, well, you know, like, we'll think about it.
And what did
a
you
little
think,
bit of a teaser.
What did you think of Hipkins' brush off? He just said, oh, we're a little ahead of the process here. And then I think he also said we'll just wait and see.
But he hasn't denied that there's going to be a tax policy. And then I think Barbara Edmonds has come out talking about small businesses and some other area. So it does seem like it's going to start to ramp up soon. I mean, they do need to because they're not trending upwards in the polls in the way that they were earlier. So they do need to start looking like a government and waiting and presenting as an alternative sort of option there.
Yes. And, okay, moving on. Tell us about this billion-dollar hole. What is it?
Oh, so it's like it's not necessarily a hole. It feels like, I think we call it a hole because we remember that whole thing about the trillion-dollar hole or whatever one election and we were
how
all
how big
of,
is his hole?
that thing. And then, of course, there was the show me the money from John Key on the debate stage is another one. It was a great moment, actually. What was that? That was a solid decade ago now.
We should turn those into stings, eh?
Yeah, I think whole talking needs to be turned into that.
Oh my God, naughty.
They're classic. They're classic kind of phrases, though, in elections. And elections are often made up of, like, classic phrases that become memes, like, Talofa, my husband's from Samoa, like that kind of stuff. You know, like, we will remember them for years. So it becomes kind of part of the political culture. But in this case, interesting, because it's like there appears, like, Labor's found this kind of gap in the budget of about $1 billion that's been held back, and Nicola Willis is saying that it will be in the announced or might be allocated in the pre-election fiscal update. So that's potential that, you know, they were talking about lolly scramble, they're talking about sugar hit for this budget, that they'll actually do a lolly scramble or a sugar hit closer to the election. But then on the other hand, I was talking with a business journalist about it, and they're saying that actually holding that back is probably necessary because they don't know what's going to happen with Iran, for example, and, like, will suddenly all the budget, all the numbers get thrown out. So I'm like, oh, it'll be interesting to see what happens there because, the opposition are rightly saying, well, you can't not allocate $1 billion when your operating allowance, your extra operating allowance for expenses was $2.4 billion. So $1 billion is quite a bit of money. So that's kind of been a kind of, I guess, way that Labor has been undermining, undermining National's economic prowess, which is kind of important at this part of the cycle, because especially on the Ipsos issues monitor, you've seen Labor kind of dominate some of those issues. But the economy is one that National likes to think of itself as owning, and I think that one's been quite close. So I can see that Labor's trying to kind of undermine them on that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that there's a possibility that that sort of money that isn't accounted for is to make up for previous overspending? Because I know that with things like the tax cuts for landlords, it ended up looking as though it's going to cost more than what they campaigned on, National.
Yeah,
that's another thing that people were saying as well, as a potential for why it's sitting there. But yeah, I guess we'll kind of see what's going to happen. I think I think Labor is also going to be waiting for that. I never know when it is, the pre-election fiscal update, when that will be, and what that is and what the books look like. I think that's kind of like a very centrist-off thing to do, where the two major parties kind of go, oh, we need to wait for that, we need to see what's in that. I think that's going to be quite important this election, given, you know, external international events and given how the major parties spend so much time talking about spending, debt, and so on and so forth.
Mm. And holes. Thank you very much, Lara. Thank you for having a chat with us this morning. And I'm sure there'll be plenty to catch up on next week again.
Yes, and I mean, this was just really Labor for most of it, wasn't it? I mean, it's
finally
so much road to run, you know? The left managed to get a little bit more attention this week, but, you know, soon it'll be the Winston Peters show again, won't it?
Meanwhile, there's like a million different bills that everyone can make submissions on at the moment if they want to get involved.
Yep. Yes.
For sure. Mm.
Thank you very much. And we'll catch up with you next week, Lara. Ka kite.
Ka kite. Thank you.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.